It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azure Talon? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
So I've been sitting here looking at my own camera like this for a while. I'm like, what if I just did the whole podcast like this? And like very rarely spoke. And like you just had to fill in for an hour.
I wonder what that would be like.
I don't know. We'll never find out because I couldn't possibly do that. So, as you know, and as I think many listeners know, been doing a lot of struggling lately with my mental health. Lots of things going on. That's why I have to have two therapists now, even though one of them's a baby therapist. And one of the big complicating factors right now, of course, is it's goddamn winter. Yeah. And I don't do good with goddamn winter. Specifically, usually somewhere around late January, I start to lose my mind. And it is something I have been struggling with, again, as per usual, dealing with that kind of stuff. And I've had a couple of missteps lately in my mental health situation and stuff like that. And then I remembered yesterday that among the many weapons in my arsenal, of which I have many to try and maintain my mental health, I have a specific one I use during this time of year that is incredibly effective that I had completely forgotten about.
What is it?
Burying myself in a really elaborate hundreds of hours, uber complicated open world RPG.
Oh. That helps you?
I've done this with Witcher 3. I've done this with Skyrim. I've done this with... Yes, because two things weigh on me at this time of year in particular. One is, especially lately, I do a lot less socialization because it's winter and, you know, you can't go out and see people, especially with COVID. That's gotten much worse the last couple of years. And feeling pointless, like feeling like I'm not accomplishing anything and stuff like that. All of that sort of ties in, and a video game like that gives me faux socialization, especially if it's got like companions and stuff in it, and a faux sense of accomplishment, especially if you got like crafting or things like that, or baseball. Like Fallout 4 was perfect for this shit, and I think it was a year or two ago I did like 300 plus hours in Fallout 4 for this. It's also, don't get me wrong, I'm fooling my brain, but it works. So
there's also faux sunshine in there.
Also that. Also that. Stuff to keep me busy, for lack of a better term.
Sure.
And so I realized that yesterday. So I started doing a deep dive into some things. What's out there that I haven't played yet that's really gonna just suck me in for, you know, weeks at a time and has all of the things and all that. And one of my gaming group people is the biggest video game nerd I know and plays all of the games. So I'm asking her and texting her, like, okay, so what's in here? And she's getting back to me. And she had a whole bunch. And then later that night, my phone's just going crazy. It's just because she texted like seven more. And she actually found ones that I'm like, I've legit never heard of this game. but I narrowed it down to two. And today, I have narrowed it down to one.
Oh, boy. What is it?
Yes. Well, I do want to give honorable mention to the runner-up.
Oh, okay.
Which was Red Dead Redemption 2. Because I still haven't played that, and I still want to play that. It's definitely on the list.
Okay.
I consider them Ghost of Tsushima, something about it seemed a little loner in the wilderness. I'm like, I don't know that that's the best vibe for what I'm going for. Again, sure. I definitely want to play it, but not sure. There. Red Dead really sounded good. But then it was pointed out to me that I could, if I wanted, try an MMO again.
Oh, really?
Say a really, really popular one of a property I already really enjoy that is playable on a console. So I got Final Fantasy 14.
That's an MMO?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Not only is it an MMO, it's technically two MMOs. Because when they made, well, long, long ago, they're making Final Fantasies, ever increasingly inaccurate naming. And after 10, they went with Final Fantasy 11 and they made it an MMO. And that was actually the first MMO I ever played. But at the time, it was very focused on you can't do shit by yourself. And I'm not good at that. And as we all know, the thing I don't like about MMOs is all the other people. And at the time, WoW came out, and WoW had a lot more, World of Warcraft had a lot more stuff you could sort of do on your own. And I got into that. And as we all know, I got into that and I got a little obsessive with that. And it was kind of a problem. Whatever. But this was like a decade ago. So, and Final Fantasy 11 was very popular for quite a while, but eventually it did end. And then when Final Fantasy 14 came around, they decided they're going to do another MMO, and they did it, and it was not very good. And so they made Final Fantasy 14 A Realm Reborn, which was a similar setting and plotline, but different. And that one took off like fucking gangbusters. And the original defunct, and this one now has had like six different paid expansions to it. It's been around forever. World of Warcraft loses a lot of people to it often, and apparently it's really cool. And just about everything associated with the main story you can do on your own, and those parts outside of that, I have it reliably believed you can do it with relatively small pickup groups and things like that. Okay. And there's tons of stuff to do, and it looks really cool and pretty. And again, can play it on the PlayStation 4, which is big for me because I prefer it. And also my computer's not that great. So I spent $60 to buy the full game. So like all the expansions and everything. And that comes with a free month of play. It is now installed. Hopefully by this evening, I will actually try it out. And then we will see from there. If I get into it, I may need to buy like a Bluetooth keyboard to hook up to my PlayStation for like communicating with people, but I'm not spending more than $60 to try it out. So I'm kind of excited about that. I have to be very careful though. I don't want this to like overshadow, but we're now into week three of this chore rota, and it's working really well. And I'm pleased with it. So that will be a very easy measure of like, am I still keeping up on things? I'm not writing, and I probably won't be writing now that I'm doing this, but historically I don't write during this time, and the thought of it is making me very anxious.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know what? That can wait for a few months. So I'm pretty psyched about that. So let's wrap this up quick so I can go play it.
Okay.
I'm kidding. I still have more chores to do. We have a plumber coming tomorrow, and I purposely am doing all of my chores so that I can be out of the plumber's way and also be available if they have questions. But it does mean that basically I'm going to look like the biggest lazy bastard because I'll probably just be sitting on this couch playing Final Fantasy 14 all day while the plumber's working. And so I'm probably going to need to have a disclaimer up front that like I do things, but I already did them all this week specifically for this. Cause I am very concerned about what plumbers think of me. It's a thing I have. Most other people don't care, but plumbers, it bothers me.
It's pretty fun to start a new open world game because it's like, wow, you know, all the places you've never seen before, all the stuff that you've never seen, all the people you haven't met yet.
The joy of Final Fantasy specifically is it has a job system, which basically means you can switch up your class sort of whenever you want to. And in fact, there's reasons to do it. And eventually you can get like a secondary one. So like when you switch, you'll still have some of the skills of the previous one and you unlock other jobs. But it's not like, oh, I played this character. I want to try a different sort of style. Well, I'm going to have to play a different character, which you can still do. But I'm like, this way, I like the idea of like, I'm going to try this out for a while and then see if this is good.
Like, what is it like? I mean, is it a, what kind of world is it? Is it just a sword and standard, sorcery type of
thing? It's final. It's old. I think it's old school Final Fantasy more. I think it leans more towards the fantasy than the sci-fi. But I don't actually know. It might be based out of the same property that was Final Fantasy 12 and Final Fantasy Tactic Advance and the first Final Fantasy. I don't remember. There is one world that has actually been used repeatedly.
And
it was the world from Final Fantasy 12, and they just use it every day. I don't think it's the same world, but they stole a lot of similar things from it. But I don't know. I literally haven't played it yet, so I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, but it, and the combat system, is it turn-based or?
I wouldn't think so. I would assume it's a real time similar to
like any other MMO.
Most MMO. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I'm excited.
Maybe we'll have to look into that.
Yeah. If I get into it, I'll let you, my friend had stopped playing it and they're like, damn it. I've been thinking about getting back in. This will probably, I was like, wait, let's wait. Maybe I'll hate it and stop immediately. So,
right.
But if
right.
not, yeah, you can play it on the PS4. And like I said, chatting is a thing, but there, and actually it is one of several games on the PS4 that if you buy a Bluetooth keyboard and mouse, you can just play the whole game on a keyboard and mouse like you were on a PC.
Oh.
The PlayStation will support those. Not all the games will support them, but this is one. So in the long run, for me, it would be a trackball because I'm actually sitting at just my couch. So I'd want something on my leg, but to start with, I think I just would want a keyboard to type, but we'll see. You can always type on the screen, but it's real slow. And they make specific keyboards that like hook in here. So like this is a little keyboard, which I might like that too. We'll see. If it gets that far, I'll cross that bridge, but for now, so I'm excited. We'll see. Hello everyone, welcome to Magical Talking High Podcast, the only I can't do any more of that or the Macarena people will sue us. The only podcast in the world that was non-fungible before it was cool. We have never been fungible.
Nope, never.
Admittedly, in the very early years, we did look into a setup where we would have been currency in prison, but it never materialized and we dropped it very quickly. We have never been fungible. You cannot funge us. Many have tried to funge us, but they could not funge us. Can't be funged. I can't that's be good. Funged. I mean, that's the title to beat for this episode.
Yeah, that you're right. It
can't
is.
Can't be funged. Yes. I am Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 568. I know that because I can see it right there on that screen. Woo! I can see emails on that screen. And I can see Tony on that screen.
Getting big Oprah energy from this.
You get a screen. Exactly. You get a screen.
I do. For those who don't go to the blog, you're monsters. Go to the magicaltalkinghat.com and see what cute things I say about the episode and also what the community has to say. It's usually really mean and you can laugh along with them at our pain. No. But for those of you who didn't go there, I should say I named the episode poorly. I'm so mad that I didn't name last week's episode Eye Protection. I don't know what I was thinking.
I mean,
hurt. I don't even remember what it was, but just last night we were watching something on TV and somebody pulled like, and they gave me this and they handed somebody a folded piece of paper and they took it. And I turned to Trish. I'm like, it says, just says eye protection, but it didn't, it had an actual note on it that pertained. I don't know. For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It is magical. How is it magical? I hear you say, which shouldn't be possible, but there we go. It is magical in that it has its own email address. Now, I also hear you say, again, don't know how that works, lots of non-magical folks, most of them, in fact, have email addresses. It's not a big deal. I say, yes. However, how many non-magical hats do you know that have their own email address? I, for some reason, you've cut out and I can't hear you now, but I'm assuming you are saying none, Tony, which is correct.
That is correct.
This hat is magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. And people from all over the multiverse write into that email address, TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com, pretty much with whatever the hell they want these days. And the hat, I mean, the hat in theory sorts them and makes a first cut and all this, but I'm not sure. Anyway, all I know is the hat sends us the ones it wants to send us, and then we read them and talk about them if we want to. And we need more. Again, we're getting low. Help us out, people. This is, I've been thinking about this, and maybe I've even said this before. I've said a lot of things about what I think, what an opportunity I feel this new format is to our listeners. But I was thinking about it, and shower thoughts. And things of a similar stuff where you're like, huh, I wonder, like, but like, it's something really like dumb or really hard to work into conversation or whatever. So you're never going to ask anyone else. Ask us. We'll talk about it. We don't fucking care. What do you got to lose? And reminder, you can mention in an email that you prefer to be anonymous. The hat will still know, but we don't have to tell other people. So, you know, if any plumbers are listening, you won't have to worry. If you,
although you might need to put it at the beginning or in the subject line or something, because like we might know who the email's from before we know it's anonymous.
Yeah. Definitely up front say, please somehow, make this anonymous.
Somehow indicate, or else we'll mess it up.
Because now we love you, so we won't. It doesn't mean we'll tell about you if we shouldn't. It means we'll probably have to do some editing. And we hate that. And we mostly hate that because we're very, very bad at it. So save us from ourselves. And if you want an anonymous data, but also we're all friendly here ish. Just go with it. But yeah, crap that you're like, I don't feel it is worth society's time to ponder this question. We're not society. We got all the time. So let us know. Yep. Do it. But we need more. We're getting low again.
You can call us Snow Day. Why? Because we got no class.
The one I always remember was way worse, which was just they ought to call you NC for no class. Which is funny because in certain role-playing games that have classes and you have an option not to have one, sometimes it is listed as NC. But this was an old Fat Albert joke.
Summer vacation. So the About on our website still has stuff about note cards in it. Did you know that?
No. I mean, in retrospect, yes. Because I'm the one who set that up and I never changed it. But I should do that. I'll bet the iTunes description still is that too. I don't know how to fix that one though. Yeah, I'll work on that. So don't pay attention to that bullshit. Listen to me. We are at Peter Stonas. So I know you didn't invest in a new MMO, so not gonna be as interesting, but how was your week?
You know, law school. But we also watched Pennyworth because you know, Pennyworth used to be on Epics.
Oh, yeah.
Now it's on HBO Max because its third season is going to be produced by HBO Max. So that's been a kind of interesting. I don't think you'd like it.
Yeah.
But
it didn't ever strike me as anything I would.
But I like watching it. Okay. We went ahead and binged those first two seasons and it was all right. What else have we been watching? Seems like there's been some movies or something, but I don't really remember. What about you?
Let's see. I made Trish watch a couple of horror movie classics to get them under her belt.
Oh.
We watched Ginger Snaps.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, Ginger Snaps. It's not a good movie. I mean,
yeah,
it's an older movie. It's from 2000. It goes on a little long, and it's not a long movie, but I felt like we were coming to the climactic finish like four different times.
I don't really remember.
But it is a very interesting movie. It's a very Canadian movie about two kids, two sisters in high school who are sort of outcasts, and one of them gets bitten by a werewolf. And the movie is a not subtle metaphor for lycanthropy as puberty. But despite being not subtle, it actually does well with it. What always I find hilarious is they had a sequel that I've never seen. And I don't intend to see because the sequel was, what if these same two sisters, but in 18th century frontier Canada? Like, it's the same actresses. They're still playing sisters. Werewolves are involved somehow. But otherwise, it has no relation to the original film.
Pretty sure we saw that one, too.
Somebody theorized that they were just making some other frontier movie, and then they were like, hey, those two actresses stuck around, should we just do another Ginger Snaps? Okay.
I think it's probably more like when they made the first one, they had two ideas. They went with that, like, one
we can do it,
and then they thought, hey, we made money on that, let's just do this one too. Let's do it. I mean, it was basically the same thing, just in, like you said, set in a different time.
Colonial puberty.
I don't remember it being particularly bad or anything.
I have heard it's not bad. I'm just like, I don't need that.
Yeah.
And then, so Scaredy Cats, the YouTube channel I watch that talks about horror movies sometimes, brought up From Dusk Till Dawn.
Okay.
And I had not realized this because I did see it shortly after it came out, but I saw it on VHS in college, and so I guess I had it spoiled. But when it originally came out, it was apparently not clear what the big sort of twist to the movie is. The movie becomes a very different movie about halfway through. Oh. A very different movie.
Didn't know.
And I'm not going to spoil it, although as of a week ago, I wouldn't have thought this was a spoiler, but apparently some people don't know. So if you don't know, don't look it up. Just watch it. And I found out Trish didn't know. And I was like, let's watch this. It is simultaneously worse and better than I remember. The start of the movie is very gritty 90s. Where it's just like disturbing and gross in very real, concrete ways that just make you uncomfortable. It also stars Quentin Tarantino, and it has certain weird, kinky things involving his character that is extra creepy now because we all know Quentin Tarantino actually has those kinks. So it becomes much creepier. Then the movie takes a hard fucking left into just hilarity. It's just silly, gets very gory. But I say this because while we were watching it, I kept wanting to turn to Trish and be like, it's not going to be like this for the whole movie. Because it was like, I did not enjoy the beginning, but I enjoyed the second part way more than I did before. It also, it's the 90s. It was written by Tarantino, directed by Robert Rodriguez. And this is back when they were both still known for like El Mariachi and Pulp Fiction. Like, this is when they had become names, but they weren't huge yet. And it has little baby versions of Selma Hayek, George Clooney. I guess he's not a baby virgin, but exploitation film icon Fred Williamson, Tom Savini in one of, I think, his last actual acting roles, because he mostly does special effects, and a baby Danny Trejo, which was insane because he still kind of looks like scarred leather, but way less scarred. He was quite handsome in his youth. I was right. And Cheech Marin playing multiple unrelated roles for reasons. But it's just weird. And yeah, and the movie, and I will say, Trish didn't particularly enjoy it, but I did enjoy it because when the thing happens, I did get to watch her go, "What the hell?" And that, and I got to turn to her and I'm like, "You can forget everything we've dealt with so far. This is a new movie now, and it's way more fun." So, but what cracks me up is it went on. It was successful. It went on to have two sequels and a TV show. None of those got the joke. It's kind of like Starship Troopers. Like, none of the following projects got that the whole thing's supposed to be satirical and kind of ridiculous and funny. So they all bombed.
Oh.
And it's the same thing here. Like, later movies are just taking itself very seriously. I'm like, no, that was so not the point of this film. So, we are still watching Foundation. Or rather, Trish is still watching Foundation, and I have agreed to sit there with her.
Oh, you really don't like it, huh?
I don't, but more than that, we've hit the dreaded, I don't give a shit.
Mm.
Like, I do have certain assumptions about where the plot will go, given the broad strokes of the books. But I also, even if I didn't know that, don't care. And I don't care if they change it. And I don't care what happens. And I'm not enjoying it, but I don't hate it. And I know it'll be harder for Trish to keep watching it if I nope out. So I said, I will watch this to the end of the season with you. If at any point you want to bail, I will bail in a heartbeat. I just don't fucking care. So yeah, we'll see. I don't know that I'll bother with another season, but we'll give that a try. We finished off Ted Lasso. Which my wife is very conflicted about. I said, so are you pleased or upset that I made you watch it? And she says she's not sure. What appears to have happened is the second season really gets your emotions going. And I think some things that were more tragic, like, still sting, and she's a little unhappy about that. Which I get. But I love it. And also I have faith in the show that it'll turn it around for next season. But we'll see. But we did finish that. So once I'm at a point where I just finished watching two seasons again, once emotionally I'm prepared to get back to the salad days of it, as it were, I'm going to start watching it over again, I think. But so the new thing we picked up since Ted Lasso is done, we are watching on Netflix Archive 81.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We are about 3 out of 8 episodes, I think, so far. It is very interesting. You nodded. Have you watched it, or you just know of it?
Watched it, yeah.
You watched the whole thing already?
Mm-hmm.
You fuckers watch a lot of TV.
More than I guess I realized.
Yeah, this happens a lot with you. Yeah. What I said last night is I find it very entertaining. That is a change from earlier when I said I find it very good.
Oh.
Initially, I was super psyched. For those of you who don't know, it's sort of a found footage movie combined with a modern conspiracy thriller. So, young man who specializes in restoring old film stock is hired to restore old film stock from a terrible fire. And the film stock is actually sort of a documentary that this woman was filming there. And there's weird shit going on. And you don't know if it's Satan or the Illuminati or the Satan Illuminati. Although by the first season, I've got a little bit of a sense. But and I'm immediately like, I'm super here for it. I love the acting. I find our protagonist very compelling. And I looked him up. He's been in a lot of stuff, nothing I've seen. But I find him very compelling. I like him. And I'm like, I love this as long as we will explain shit by the end. If we end, because it's not called limited series, it's called one season. And I'm like, fuck, if you do that shit where like none of it is explained, I'm gonna be pissed off. But I'm like, besides that, it looks really good. And then we kept watching and it got weirder, and it got weirder in ways that made bits of its the continuity started to separate a little bit. And now we're at the point where there's some holes in how this is working and things. And I mean, some of it is very psychedelic weird and may involve Satan, but there's bits that just in terms of people did this and that, like that it's not holding together. I think it's doing more style over substance in terms of its story, which is annoying. However, it's still entertaining as hell to me. Like, it's still very compelling. I still find it fascinating. Everybody's doing great performing. I have a new thing where I assume various characters at different points are ghosts. None of that has been borne out, and most of that has been very specifically debunked. But I spent a lot of time thinking one person was a ghost. And then I was like, okay, clearly not, because he's talking with other people. But then I'm like, oh, she might be a ghost. No, I'm like, okay, all of them are ghosts. And so, yeah. But yeah, it's interesting. It's I would recommend it at this point, definitely. Did you like it?
Is there some kind of big name associated with it? Like,
James Wan is an EP on it.
Yes,
I noticed James that in the Wan. Credits. And you love That's James right. Wan.
I do love James Wan. So the thing about this is, it has that problem that a lot of found footage things have a problem with, which is to make the whole found footage thing work, the person running the camera is often running it in ways they would never do.
Yes. Know?
They're shooting things they would never shoot. They would whatever.
That happens in fucking spades.
Yeah, a lot. It just takes me out of it when they do that. It's like, with their camera.
I don't have that problem as much anymore because it's so not fucking found footage anymore. Because we cheat. And you can get away with it because we're the audience. It's not literal found footage. So when he's looking at the footage, we see the grainy camcorder footage. And then suddenly we're in a perfectly clear scene from a different angle. So yeah. Like that. And also we get very sort of meta with it stuff. So, that, I mean, we do bring it up when it happens. We're like, why the hell is she filming this? But, and it's funny, in most found footage, the way you do that is you just have one person who is really obsessed with filming everything. And it's really fun because throughout the movie, when shit goes wrong and like the demons come or whatever, everybody else is like, why are you fucking filming this? Put the fucking camera down. And they never do. So that's Andy. But yeah, I believe there was one where our burgeoning ethnographer was filming herself in the mirror while choosing a dress to go on a date. And I'm like, no, that's not a thing.
Filming herself in the mirror while she was talking to somebody else who was right next to her. I mean, you know, she wouldn't have talked into the mirror to talk to her friend with the camera on herself. That just wouldn't happen. Yeah. It's going to happen. And sometimes she's holding the camera at an angle that's clearly not right. So again, that's why I can't watch any found footage thing, is because they all do that. But if you like found footage stuff and you can overlook that, that's pretty much the only problem. I mean, everything else is actually kind of interesting, except for some of the things you just talked about where there might be some story issues, but I'm not sure how many of those story issues you're noticing aren't going to be resolved later.
Which, or made worse later,
I don't really know.
I'm sure there are some, because there are some things that I'm like, okay, shit's getting freaky. We could retcon, like, we could make this work. But there's other things of just like a person did a thing and then later said they didn't do, there's stuff that I'm like, it's just patently. And there have been a couple of times where I've had to turn to Trish and say, was that person lying or is the TV show really stupid? And it's, so far, some of them have paid out, and sometimes the answer was one and sometimes the answer was the other. And it's just, again, it's a style over substance thing, and it happens. And I'm learning that I need to, because I do focus on story and this kind of thing can ruin it for me, but I try and step out of that and do, am I still being entertained? That's why I'm here, to be entertained. If this feels like a chore or I don't care what happens, I am out. And at this point, it does not feel like a chore. I'm not like, oh, we're going to watch another episode of that. And I still want to know what happens. So
yeah, I mean, we watched the whole season. So
yeah. There's some really great performances. Really liking some of these actors under very unusual circumstances. Like they're playing very strange characters in situations that, like, they probably have never acted in that situation before and still, like, are being convincing.
Yeah, believable, sure. Yeah.
We do occasionally get a really bad CGI effect, but, you know, that is life. So yeah, been enjoying that. I think that's it mostly. I think that's all. I've been doing a lot of housework and stuff, but I did find out, because I told my therapist and my baby therapist that what you described is very different for an internship than what was going on here. And the student eventually was like when I described it more, it sounds like U of I at your school have the internship and the practicum, but for some reason have switched the names.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's already done a practicum, which is very much how you described your internship being described.
Oh.
And you already said that the thing your school is calling a practicum sounds a lot like how I described this internship.
Yeah.
So I think they did. And she was like, or, you know, maybe school. And I kept telling him, I'm like, you know, he's going to a bad school. So they're probably just screwing it up.
It's like, it's not.
But yeah, it's, so apparently she already went through the internship thing you described and now she's doing this. And it was funny because my actual therapist didn't know about this. And she's like, that's insane. They just throw you into talking with clients with like no context or background or anything. They're just like, yeah, let's just start with you fucking running sessions. And it does seem weird that then afterwards we're going to have you listen in. Like, that's very strange, but it worked for her. So yeah. And this time was in person. So the three of us in a room. I actually think having a third person there makes an interesting dynamic for me and my therapist. Cause as you know, me and my therapist don't get along. We can sort of bank shit off of her. And so, yeah. So let's do some things. I'm gonna do one.
All right.
Emails. That's what they're called.
Some things.
Stuff. All right. Wow, we really are catching up. This is from Beth, and the subject says hat question 1522, which means less than a month ago. That's pretty recent. I like that too. I like putting the date in there, so I know. I also know it was sent on 1/5/22, so that helps.
But. Right.
All right, here we go. Why do you think there are some classic, in quotes, books that have been made and remade into movies many times? And then she says, EX, probably should be EG. Pride and Prejudice, A Christmas Carol, Anna Karenina, etc. And there are others where the one old version is still the version. EX, Gone with the Wind, Wizard of Oz. Signed, Beth. Why do you think, William?
I mean, it even kind of goes beyond that, because Christmas Carol is one of those things that I think sometimes people are interested in seeing other versions of it. Like, oh, I want to see what this actor does, or I want to see what this director does, or, oh, they're going to make a musical version. I'm interested in that, you know.
I mean, it's true. Pride and Prejudice, I don't think, has ever had an unsuccessful version.
And then you have Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and stuff like that. But, I mean, it's, I'm going to, I think that probably the thing that we should expect to happen is the thing getting made over and over again. I think the thing getting made once and never again, that's the weird thing. That's like, why does that happen? There's nothing particularly surprising about them making several versions of something. I mean, that still happens. So to me, the real question is, why would they never make another? Well, the thing is, they did make more Wizard of Oz, though, right? They made The Wiz, and they made other things.
Oh, they made a ton of Wizard of Oz things. And yeah, the reason we know the 39 one as the one is because all the other things sucked. They yeah. made The Wiz, which admittedly didn't suck, but was probably scary to white people. But they did turn that one into a movie. They made Return to Oz, which tanked hard. They made The Great and Powerful Oz with James Franco and Mila Kunis, which I don't know shit about it. And I usually knew shit about that kind of stuff. So that should tell you something right there. They made Emerald City, one of the biggest affronts to television ever created. And the 1939 one was not the first adaptation.
That's correct. It was, and if we're talking just about his first book, because some of those other examples, I mean, The Wiz was based on probably the movie, really, the more than the first book. Yeah, yeah. But all those other things weren't based on the first book. But there have been
smaller scale ones based on other books also.
Right.
I've seen a couple of those.
Just talking about ones that are based on his first book. Yes, that's right. There were several before the film. And yeah, I don't know. So maybe Wizard of Oz isn't a very good example. But Gone with the Wind is a good example. I don't know of any other versions of that besides the original. Nobody's really.
Well, and I have a couple of theories about that.
Okay.
One is Gone with the Wind was famously incredibly expensive to make.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So much of this nowadays is driven by profit motive. And I don't know that too. But also, how lasting has the popularity of Gone with the Wind, the book, been, or the movie? I know it's a classic, but nobody's like, oh yeah, we watch it every Valentine's Day, or like Wizard of Oz. The properties that tend to be done over and over again are the ones that people tend to still enjoy in a lot of cases. Okay, I'm jumping ahead. I think there's a variety of factors. The underlying one, of course, it needs to be in the public domain. They don't want to pay shit for shit.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
Then it needs to have generally have been successful financially. That is becoming more and more true as time goes on. I think now it is becoming much more business-like, where this movie grossed this much on this budget and we haven't made one of these in X number of years. We can totally cash in. I feel like that's what's been happening with goddamn Peter Pan, and not been going well at all. There have been an insane number of Peter Pan remakes, almost all of which have tanked pretty bad. Christmas Carol has the niche that there aren't a lot of beloved reoccurring Christmas stories. I mean, nobody yet has done the gritty reboot of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, but you know, by and large, I think there's also, there has to be an individual, like people get an idea in their head, like, oh, what if this thing that we've already done, but like different. And so they want to do that, which is why we've had a lot of versions of Frankenstein, a lot of versions of Dracula, a lot of versions of Sherlock Holmes. Whereas some of these other properties, I don't think they care as much. I'm a little surprised Jane Austen's stuff has been made as often as it does, but I think there is a specific demographic that enjoys prestige British period pieces, and you can't get better for that than Jane Austen.
I think Jane Austen is the female version of Shakespeare. I mean, it's just, we want to do a period piece, you know, if that's what you want to do and you want to see certain actors in that role, you know, you could do Shakespeare, which is still done, right? All, you know,
oh, all the time, still all making the time.
Shakespeare stuff. Well, I think,
and well, they're remaking Shakespeare plays, and they're making films that are secretly Shakespeare plays.
Well, they kind of do that with Austen a little bit sometimes.
And, too, no, and so. You're right. They do that with Austen as well. Clueless is, well, Jane Eyre, I guess that's Bronte, but you know, same general zone.
Same kind of thing. Yeah. Bronte, you're right. She would definitely, yeah. Both of them together, it might take both of them together to equal.
There's been a bunch of versions of Emma and stuff like that.
Yeah. But that the thing you talked about with public domain or whatever, that's a huge one because, well, I'll give you an example. The property that started the whole thing we've got, I mean, really today with space westerns and space operas and space whatever, is Buck Rogers. And you'd think that as popular as that genre has been ever since Star Wars, you know, showed people how to do it profitably, that Buck Rogers would just be one of those properties that's out there. And of course, there was a Buck Rogers movie not long after Star Wars came out. And there was a TV show too.
Yes, which I recently discovered is on Tubi. And I am excited because the Gil Gerard Buck Rogers was one of those things that I remember very fondly, even though I think it's probably going to turn out to have been shit. And that is really hard to find for some reason, but it's on Tubi. So
there's a, yeah, I watched some of it recently, and you know, of course it doesn't hold up, but some of their ideas for telling a Buck Rogers story in terms of like, well, how are we going to update it from the old 1920 something or other story were actually pretty good. But anyway, you'd think they'd still be making them, or they would have rebooted it or something. And why has that not happened? It's because someone still owns it, and they have really weird attitudes about it. So anyone that comes to them and says, hey, we know we could make $1 billion on the right Buck Rogers movie and pitch it to them. And if they don't like it, nothing.
Or if they want too big a share or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the same reason why we've only got one. Well, two, if you count the Bakshis, we've really only got one Lord of the Rings, and we've really only got a couple versions of Narnia. Is those are still owned by estates.
Well,
and so you have to pass it through them.
Wizard of Oz is another example. The books are in the public domain. Nobody cares about the books. They care about the movie. They, you know, yep. They want ruby red slippers, not silver slippers like in the book. They want the Wicked Witch that you see in the movies, not a whole different character really in the books. So yeah, a lot of that stuff's in the public domain. Nobody wants to tell that story. They want everything to be connected to the film. And the film, though, of course, is not in the public domain.
Yeah.
Still owned by whoever owns it. I don't even know who it is right now. So yeah, that's a big one. With you mentioning that, that's huge, really. I think it gets in the way of things getting rebooted or retold more often than people realize.
And I like to think there's a component of lasting popularity. If it's something that was really huge once, but now pretty much nobody talks about it. Like, I think Gone with the Wind followed. Who the fuck is talking about Gone with the Wind? We all do, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. And old people love it, but like, I've never seen it. I'm familiar with it, but I've never seen it. I don't think it's strongly still within the sort of zeitgeist. Peter Pan's a little bit of a weird one for that, but that's a trick too. If you had a successful animated Disney film with it, it's gonna get remade a bunch. Sometimes by Disney and sometimes by other people who are like, we want some of that sweet, sweet Disney money, so we'll borrow more from the public domain property. Because that's the problem. A lot of stuff Disney has is based in the public domain, but then they add Disneyisms to them, and you can't take those.
Well,
those are copyrighted.
Yeah, the original Peter Pan movie, aside from being really awful, racist and just terrible.
It's Dumbo levels of not aged well.
It bears very little resemblance to the original material. I mean, you could pretty much take the original book or play and make a movie out of them. You still wouldn't get past Disney, but it'd just be like a few things because there's so many other things that are different. But then what happens, like, let's say it was same with the Wizard of Oz. Then what happens is the film that someone made, usually Disney, becomes the thing people want to emulate. They don't even care about the original property anymore, no matter how different it is. So
that's happens. What's making the money. We also need to factor in aging things because Gone with the Wind would not be remade because it's Gone with the Wind. Like, it's on a plantation in South in the owning people times, and we are not okay with that.
See, I mean, you're getting to an important point here too, is that we have I haven't read Pride and Prejudice. I haven't read the book, but to my knowledge, a couple of the film adaptations are really faithful and accurate. There aren't very many things from the 19th century that you can have a fairly faithful adaptation of that people would still like with it just the way it was the book.
Yeah.
I don't know why Jane Austen was able to do that, but apparently her stories have a timeless quality that a lot of 19th century stories simply do not. If you told it today, even if you told it in the period setting, you'd have to change it a lot for anybody to enjoy it. And apparently Jane Austen is one of those authors where you can pretty much do it right, tell the story right as it was in the book, and everybody will still love it because it's got that timeless aspect to it. I don't know. I don't know if that's true because I haven't read any of the books actually, but one of our listeners maybe knows.
Once again, I'm able to hear Beth talking while she's listening to this in the future. And we're not giving a very good answer. Sorry. I don't think. I think we're touching on things, but I agree with it. I'm like, because I think the answer is we don't know. And some of it's probably random chance. This feels like the kind of topic where there's a lot of confirmation bias. Because I'm like, well, this is still a big thing today. Well, yeah, it's a big thing today because it's been remade over and over again. So like, and this one's not a big deal. Well, yeah, because it hasn't been. So, like, which came first kind of deal.
Right.
But to that end, this, and I say this a lot, but I want to hear from the listeners on this one. I feel like you and I are on the same very shaky page about this. And I feel like there are better answers.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
Probably. And I would very much like, and I also think there are people among our listeners who are more qualified to address this than
we are. Right. I think so too.
So please go themagicaltalkinghat.com and give your theories on this. Give us other examples that we forgot too.
Yeah.
Things to get remade. Because I do think we have now hit a point where it's a numbers game. Where it's
today, yeah.
What has this property done before? What will it do now? And how much does it cost? Because you also do things like, and I know this gets very much, Guardians of the Galaxy. Guardians of the Galaxy was a podunk little comic book that almost no one had heard of. But Disney was like, apparently, if we just put Marvel in a movie, it's going to make all of the money. So what else have we got lying around? Oh, hey, here's a weird one. It's in space. We can do space. Let's do space. Became absolutely huge.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's purely because they're like, it's Marvel. It's a real thing. We certainly haven't used it yet. Nobody bought it out from under us back in the day before we knew any better, like Spider-Man. Like, what the hell? Let's just do it. And then they did.
Well, to be fair, I mean, I think they also did it reasonably well. I mean, they could have screwed it up.
Yeah. No shade. I'm saying the choice to do it was based on this. They did a good job. I am a fan of both of those films.
Yeah.
But then, and then other things just sort of get thrown away. The Doom Patrol has a lot of lesser known properties slithering through there that they're handling really well. But I'm like, yeah, they just gave you free reign for this because the DCEU people were like, we don't give a shit about Flex Mentallo. Go nuts. So that's fun.
Modern day DC people really love digging up old weird stuff, you know. They just love it.
Well, now it's just a gold mine. Well, and there's so many video. My favorite, there's a lot of different places to do that, are videos on YouTube that are, here are some legit storylines about your favorite cinematic superheroes that would never fucking get made into a movie.
Yeah,
and
that's right.
Sometimes it's things like Iron Man used to have rollerblades pop out of his feet. And sometimes it's things like, Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch in one version were brothers that had sex together, or brother and sister that had sex together. Like, sometimes it's, this is too dumb and old and hokey. And sometimes it's, this is really fucked up and nobody would dare put this in a film.
Sometimes it's not old either. Cause when Pennyworth, we were watching Pennyworth, as I said, and there, and I thought to myself, you know what? I don't know that much about Alfred as a character. Like, because I knew they'd had some titles with just him, and sometimes they had side stuff where they developed his past or whatever. I don't know anything about that stuff. So I went into Wiki just to see, well, what kind of stuff have they done? And some of the most recent storylines with him and Batman and stuff are so stupid. I mean, recent, like within the last 5 years. So yeah, some of the stories that are in comic books,
it's a different world.
Not just the old ones. Even some of the new ones are like, no, this is dumb. You can't do that. That's stupid.
But it has invented something I love that might be my favorite thing in comic book movies now, which is we have to come up with a reason why we use this dumbass name, which we're using because it's canonical, but it's stupid and nobody today would use it. Most recently typified in Eternals with the Unimind, where somebody came up with the Unimind and everybody's like, that's the dumbest fucking name ever. Why don't you call it all these other things? And the original guy gets mad and he's like, it's my thing. I'm going to call it the Unimind. And I'm like, that is dumb. But when it came up in the 60s, that's what it was called. And fans would flip out if you changed that very distinctive name. But they're littered with those. And I always love when they have to do a little like, that's dumb. Why did we call it that thing? Every time. Because you can't say, oh, because the source material was written decades ago. No, you have to come up with a weird, silly reason. And that's something I really enjoy.
Yeah, that is fun. You're right about that.
Yeah. All right. That's all we have time for today. So write us themagicaltalkinghead@gmail.com with your own stuff. We'll have fun with it. We won't necessarily do anything useful or satisfying, but it'll be fun, and it will be non-fungible. Promise you.
We didn't beat it, did we?
No,
we
didn't beat that. I didn't quite.
No.
I had something in. Oh, I almost, because I, the truth is, I thought of it in the past. Sometimes I try and play things off as off the cuff, but I thought of Satan Illuminati a day or two ago. And I thought that was going to be a contender, but can't be funged.
No.
And that one genuinely was spontaneous, which gives it extra points as well. That was out of my ass. So Yeah, it can be fun. It's going to be as good as it was.
Excellent.
Listen again next week. Write in. Go to the blog. Talk to us there. We are only doing this for attention. So if you don't pay us attention, it ruins it for us. We don't like each other. A PR firm introduced us.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh my God. The other day, my therapist, I was talking about my friend Sarah, and she's like, how do you know Sarah? I'm like, we used to work. I said, mostly she used to be my boss. She's like, oh, I'm like, yeah, kind of like what? I'm like, are my longstanding friends usually people who at some point were my boss? Is that like my brand? I don't know that I like, I feel like there's a lot of questions tied into that, but apparently that's my thing. Yeah, but so we're not doing this for us. I mean, we're not doing this for whatever this is. We're doing it for attention. We're very lonely, sad people.
Yeah,
very lonely, so sad. Please help us out. We've given you so many hours of something to kill time. The least you can do is give us a little external validation or mockery. We don't care. We are that, you know, like they say about like young children who don't know the difference between good attention and bad attention. It's totally us. We do not know the difference. We just want something. Like,
no bad publicity.
I would love it if like people started leaving. Like, you hear about like, oh, there's all the nasty internet commenters. Nobody's nasty to us. That would be awesome. I would be like, we've made it. People are talking about having sex with my mom and shit like that. That would be, mwah. That's how we know. I'm not saying I would like the comment. It would hurt me deeply, but I would know that we're succeeding as an internet entity.
Okay.
I would cry, but I'd feel proud at the same time.
Oh,
it's okay. Tricky. Anyway, yeah. So we'll be back next week. Don't leave, William. I wanted to talk to you a second about fungi.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.